Okay, here we go. Great Controversy, page 589. And it says, through spiritualism, Satan appears as a benefactor of the race, healing the diseases of the people and professing to present a new and more exalted system of religious faith, but at the same time, he works as a destroyer. And how often have we seen this? You know, what gets me, though, first of all, on this? Now, these days are coming. I mean, these are right, we're right on the precipice of this stuff. I mean, talking about the real fake healings. I'm not talking about Benny Hinn and Falderall. That's just snake oil. He's a charlatan. He ain't healing anybody. But they're all falling for it. That's how easy it is to manipulate people that are, you know, what the world would consider down on their luck. But, and this is what always concerns me about some of us that have loved ones that are sick this close to the end. Are they about to be tested in a way where, you know, they're going to be, you know, let's just say you have quite a few loved ones, and one of them's sick, and then some of the other loved ones don't believe the way you do, and they go to see Satan acting like he's Jesus, and he's healing everybody, and they run over to the house, and they tell your loved one that, hey, you know, you can get healed. It has to be Jesus. He's healing everybody. Everybody's going to heal, you know. And when they go, it's it. Didn't Jesus say don't go there? He doesn't have to explain himself. If you read your Bible, you know the danger. If you don't read your Bible, well, Jesus said don't go there. I'm going to figure out why he said not to go there. Well, if you read your Bible, you'd know. I mean, that's a catch-22 thing, you know. And this is why I believe the Lord has gotten all of us to read our Bibles, because that day is that close. But when I think of Benny Hinn or Peter Popoff or any of these other fake guys, I remember that one guy, too. He actually said on national television years ago, and they put him on, he's still on YouTube now. He was that child preacher that went on for a while, and he did it for years, and all of a sudden when he came to his own, like, I don't know, his 20s or 30s, he decided to expose the whole situation. Because the guilt got to him, I guess. And he says, yeah, they taught me since I was a child how to lie to the people, make them think they're being healed. But nobody seems to get this fact that there is not a single solitary, bona fide, validated case of Benny Hinn or Peter Popoff or any of these so-called faith healers. Not once have they ever healed anybody. Not one of them have stepped up and say they were healed. There's been many that said they thought they were healed and then later died. Or how about that one little kid that had the eyes? They always bring him up on those Benny Hinn exposing videos. I think Nightline or 2020 or something like that, like, exposed it on there, and they brought that little kid up. And Benny Hinn said that he was healed. His eyes were going to be fine. He was going to give him a bunch of money for a college degree and all that stuff, you know. And then years later, now the kid's a teenager. He's got a black patch over one eye, and the other eye he can barely see out of. And he was never healed. But he actually thought he was that night because of the hoopla. You know, it's because they do the Benny Hinn services the way the Pentecostal church does their services, if you've ever been in their church. At least 45 minutes to an hour before the preacher ever gets to that pulpit, you're going to be singing. And they're going to use rock music. It's just like in the jungles in Africa, you know, when they got that beat. You don't even need music for that. But they put the beat in there with the music, so as to keep both things going. And then they also have those aerosol cans up there in the rafters that I caught them doing once, where they spray the crowd with these air fresheners that smell like roses. And they say, oh, can you smell the rose? The Holy Spirit's here. You know, everybody falls into it. It's called parfuming. It's witchcraft. And so they all think it's a more exalted system of religious faith. And just like today, I mean, this is why the Pope is pushing all sorts of decadent lifestyles and making it look like it's no big deal. We'll take you into the church. Don't worry. We accept you as you are, because that's what Jesus does. Well, that's true. Jesus will accept you as you are. But then he also says, go and sin no more. You know, when Mary Magdalene walked up and was going to get stoned, I mean, she was relieved and forgiven of her sin, and that she went and sinned no more. But Catholicism says, no, you can keep sinning. You can be saved in your sins rather than from your sins, you know. And so she goes on to say that his temptations are leading multitudes to ruin. Intemperance dethrones reason. Sensual indulgence, strife, and bloodshed follow. Satan delights in war, for it excites the worst passions of the soul and then sweeps into eternity its victims steeped in vice and blood. It is his object to incite the nations to war against one another, for he can thus divert the minds of the people from the work of preparation to stand in the day of God. And this thing where she mentions about Warren, I praise God for a video I just got from Brother Warren. He sent me on a DVD. And yeah, I got it, brother. Well, I hope you got my email, too. I just noticed you just came in the room. But I'm going to make a video about this one because I have a page on the website called It's About Hitler and how Hitler was Roman Catholic and he was working hand-in-hand with Rome, but Rome keeps denying that from day one, right? Well, in this, and I think this is what you're talking about, Warren, right? In the video, halfway through the video, the soldiers are doing their regular salute like they usually do for Hitler, you know, that Roman salute. A few of them, but all of a sudden they put up the three-finger trident. You know, like, well, actually it's the two-finger. I don't remember if the thumb was over or next to him because it's supposed to be Holy Spirit, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit thing. But that is a hand sign that was originated in paganism and then brought forward into Roman Catholicism. It's the only place you see it. Well, unless, of course, you go into the Seventh-day Adventist Church now and you get their annual yearbooks in the schools. They're using it now, too, because the Catholic Church has taken over that church. But that's a whole other story. But, yeah, I got to make a video about that because it overwhelmingly proves that the Vatican, the Nazi soldiers were making a vow to the Roman Catholic Church that they would do what they commanded of them because they're using the same exact hand signal that the soldiers in the Vatican use. Those guys with those funny-looking clown outfits on from, I think they're from Sweden? No, I don't know. Norway? I don't know. I can't remember where they're from. But they're supposedly guarding the White House and all this other stuff, and I don't see them doing much of that at all. Swiss Guard. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's what they were, the Swiss Guard. So anyway, she goes on to say that Satan works through the elements also to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. Today, we call that chemtrails. Oh, wow, you're a conspiracy theorist. Okay, let's just say you're right. Just for giggles. But do you live on planet Earth? Oh, yeah, okay. Have you ever looked up when you're outside? You see those those are contrails. No, no, no. Big difference between a contrail and a chemtrail. A contrail disappears after a little while. A chemtrail gets bigger and bigger and bigger and then covers the entire sky eventually with barium, aluminum, and some other element. There's all sorts of theories as to what they're using it for, everything from shielding this planet from the sunlight to, dusting the planet to make satellite imagery and radar imagery that much more accurate from the ground up so as to better track people. And then the other thing is, of course, to seed cities with toxins to where they can control the masses. And the reason I say that is the flu shot. And what I mean there is, and this has already been discovered, there's many websites that talk about this, but we actually saw it happen in Lafayette, Indiana. I don't live in Lafayette, but I know people that do. And it turns out everybody in Lafayette got the same flu at the same exact time. And it was a weird flu. It wasn't just like normal flu. And what some conspiracy theorists come up with is the flu shot doesn't only have the flu virus, of course. And, of course, it's useless because it's last year's virus to begin with. So why even get the shot? But people will believe their doctors because they've got a white coat on with a pen in the pocket. And so they take the shot. But inside the shot, they also have a dormant virus, like an open-ended Trojan horse that you could put in your computers and then waiting for some data to come in. Well, that's you could do the same thing with biology. You put in like a what they would call like a dormant virus or something in there. I can't remember exactly the terminology. But it's not going to activate. It's not going to do anything in your body whatsoever until you literally are introduced another virus that goes into it. And then once it goes into it, you'll get sick or you'll do this or you'll do that, right? And so the whole city's got the whole mess of people in the city got the flu shot. They chemtrail the city. 4 or 5 days later, everybody's sick because they all got the shot, and the shot was waiting for the cloud seeding. So that's another reason for the chemtrails, too. I mean, it's kind of the things that Hitler was working on in his day, or trying to perfect. So if he was perfecting it then, with today's technology, come on, you got to know that they're going to be doing it. And anyway, and it kind of settled my heart a little bit, too, just on the case of human nature, when I thought about how violent and vicious the Nazi soldiers were. I always get those two words mixed up. And what I mean is, when you hear some of the horrific things that these soldiers did to the Jews and to the Christians, and yeah, there was Christians. They didn't like them either. Anybody that wasn't Catholic, you know, they had a problem with them. And so they killed them, but they did it in some violent and vicious ways. Well, information has just been coming out the last 6 months that Hitler literally gave methamphetamine to the soldiers to amp them up, if you will, to keep them up for days, in fact, and to get them to be crazed. And might be something we're seeing in our own police force here in the United States, of some of these cops just going off on the deep end, crazy. I think it's a perfected form of methamphetamine because if it's the kind of stuff that you make in the bathroom, if you will, big differences were, you know, you're going to get the rotted teeth, pustules all over the face and stuff, you know. But with this other stuff, I guess it's a little more perfected. But the reason I'm bringing that all up is because of what she's saying here in regards to Satan studying the laboratories of nature. And and she's not talking about the laboratories where mankind does the splicing and the DNA stuff and all that other stuff. No. Satan is the one that's directing them to do that now. He knows how a tree grows. He knows how a bumblebee will, you know, he knows nature a lot more. He's super intelligent, if you will. Supernatural. There you go. That's the word. And so he's convincing mankind to go ahead and use these methods to attack us, just like Revelation, I think it's 18:23, talks about in regards to using the sorceries or pharmakia in today's language, which is actually pharmacy. And so if the chemtrails ain't going to get you, it's going to be the food additives and the prescriptions from your doctor. But none of that can get you if you're a Christian. You know, if you're an obedient Christian, and even if the Lord allows it, you're still, you know, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. So let them spray disguise. Let them, well, I wouldn't eat, of course, the processed foods, because then you're just asking for trouble there. I mean, if you can't read the ingredients, then don't eat it. It's just that simple. You know, there's a reason they got these weird Latin terms for the things that they're putting in your food. Go to a health food store. Look at the packaging. Wow, that's English. You know, it's amazing, ain't it? Yeah, you're going to pay premium prices, but you'll live longer. And you'll be able to understand things better. But the processed foods, no, not good. So anyway, she goes on to say that when he suffered to afflict Job, how quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away, one trouble succeeding another as in a moment. And some of us have gone through this as well. I'm not saying we all had tornadoes. Well, some of us do live in Tornado Alley, but not all of us have seen all this, you know, death and destruction like Job did. But we have seen trial after trial after trial after, I mean, just piling on you to the point where you literally feel like you're all crippled up inside because you can't move. It's just the black, like Sister White talks about, that black cloud that just floats. The enemy likes to keep you down as much as he possibly can because he knows you're a threat. She says, but the Christian world have shown contempt for the law of Jehovah. Wait, I went a little bit too far there. Hold on. Okay. It is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. But the Christian world has shown contempt for the law of Jehovah, and the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth and remove his protecting care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. And no, it's not that he's being a meanie, you know, or a tyrant or anything like that. We have been given free will. We're not robots. We aren't forced to believe in God. We have to make that choice. So if we say we don't believe in you, well, then all the promises, even if you don't understand 90% of his scripture, all those promises are still yours. And we're not Pentecostals saying, well, you got to speak them into existence. No, they're already there. it's, you know, so many people like to think that we're, you know, you're only going to be able to get the promises you understand. And a lot of times you won't even understand you received the blessing of the promise decades later, you know, hindsight being 2020 and all. But his law, when we disobey it, and we've seen this all throughout history, you see this in the Old Testament with the Jews, you see this in the New Testament with the Christians, well, actually in New Testament history, if you will. After the New Testament was written, we saw what started going down after 321 AD when Constantine set up the first Sunday law on March 7th. And then all the Christians, you know, they started dealing with all these problems. And before you knew it, all those Roman Catholics that they elected into civil office had authority over them, and then all of a sudden Christians are dying everywhere. Why? Because his protecting hand was off of them. Not because he's a meanie, but because they asked him to leave. When you disobey him, you're obeying his enemy. You have made your choice. And so you are in the enemy's camp, and the enemy just loves to destroy. So if you're in his camp, expect to die physically and spiritually. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to die. But if you're in the Father's camp, you will never die. Ever. You might die a physical death, but everyone's going to get up again, even the wicked. Yeah, everybody's got to die, right? Except, of course, the Gideon band and Enoch, Elijah, Moses, you know, and the 24 elders. But still, she goes on. Satan has control of all whom God does not especially guard. He will favor and prosper some in order to further his own designs, and this is why you see some of these wicked people, massively wicked people, live for into their 90s. I mean, there's two ways of looking at that, too, though. He's going to keep them as long as possible so that he can use them with the power that he has granted them, while at the same time, the Lord is going to be as merciful and waiting on them for as long as possible. Brandon and I were talking about this earlier, about our Lord and Savior is in the holy, you know, the most holy place right now. And just pleading with the Father, wait, there are some that aren't ready. Like, could you think of Obama like that? Could you think of Ratzinger like that? Could you think of the present Pope like that? Well, there are two popes going on now, but still, could you think of these guys, as evil as they are? God loves them. He created them just like he created you. They made some bad choices. They can turn around. You did. Okay, granted, you turned around and you weren't a multi-billionaire killing all sorts of people, but still, at the same time, Paul turned around. And so, you know, the love is still there. Jesus hung on the cross for these guys too. As hard as it is to believe it, and here we are, you know, pointing fingers and doing this and doing that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Ephesians 5:11 theology here. We are supposed to rebuke and expose the evil where it's at, but at the same time, pray for them. You still got to pray for them because they might make it home, hopefully. But eventually, that censer is going to drop. I mean, that day's got to happen. Investigative judgment's already begun. It's got to end sooner or later. Preferably sooner. So again, he will favor and prosper some in order to further his own designs, and he will bring trouble upon others and lead men to believe that it is God who is afflicting them. See, that's another thing that some young Christians, mostly, and even, you know, seasoned Christians that have been, you know, Christians for decades, are going to still have the same thought in their minds, like, God's doing this to me. No, it's usually the end result of our own sin, but at the other end of it is, it could also be a trial he's sending to get you to a point where he'll be glorified even more. Like, comes to mind here, I think I sent this off this morning. I'm trying to figure out where it went. Wait, hold on a second here. I'm going to look this up real quick because, here it is. Nope, that ain't it. Thought I had it in here. Oh, well. Oh, that's right. I got tons of emails since I sent that. So, okay, I'm not going to find it because I'm not backed up that much, but I do have about 200 or 300 in here. So she goes on, while appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, He will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and destruction or desolation. Even now, he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms and tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes in every place and in a thousand forms. Satan is exercising his power. Now, some people will say, okay, we understand the devil likes to do that kind of stuff. Yeah, you know, it's a no-brainer. He's the angel of death. He just loves death because that's where he's headed, and he's going to glorify it as much as possible. And this is why you see guys with tattoos all over their bodies with skulls on them and stuff like that, or listening to heavy metal music or thrash metal or death metal. And, you know, or just some of the bad things that are happening in life. But when you think of hailstorms or tornadoes and tempests and floods and stuff like that, let me just run a few things by you here. Because I've been in tornadoes, I've been in hailstorms. I ain't never been in a flood, though, or a cyclone, because I'm pretty much in the center of the country here, or a tidal wave. Or I've been in a couple earthquakes, but I've seen many, you know, we've seen many, you know, tornadoes shift their track after praying. We actually had a worker from AT&T come here after a massive hailstorm hit the area and wiped out over 5,500 acres of crops. And for some reason, when he came to work on our DSL at the time, I had DSL, he is the one that offered the information, not me. He just says, I just saw the most amazing thing in my life. And I go, what's that? And he didn't know who I was, and I didn't know who he was. We hadn't met yet. He goes, yeah, I just drove through this whole area, and, you know, and all the farms around here are just obliterated, and yours is pristine. Why is that? Yeah, because right when he got to the edge of our land, there's no damage. And I says, well, we're Christians, and, you know, the Lord protects his people. And then look what happened with Pastor Craig out there at that one cyclone a couple of years ago. I think that was pretty neat, too, and how it went down. Some of the people that attacked him that were associated with some of the people that left our number years ago, some of them actually started shoving his wife around in front of him, right in his own home. You know, the devil was tempting Craig to go back to his old ways. He used to be a rambunctious little guy. Well, not little, but you know what I mean. And it was, I can't remember the name of that one. It was bad, but he was telling me how some of the people that were exceptionally violent towards them and exceptionally violent evil were never found after that flood. And some that were associated with them, their houses, all their homes were destroyed, gone. And a large portion of them, I don't know if it was large, but there were some of them that had no place to go. Their homes were destroyed, and they're running in the storm and all this wind and all this other stuff. And guess where they found shelter? And the only building in the whole area that wasn't being affected by the storm, and that was the little church that we were building out there, that you all helped build, by the way. Anybody that tithes and gives love offerings to this church, that was built with your money, just like the other church or any of the work that we do. And so don't worry about that kind of stuff when you actually, like, especially if you're going to be part of the Gideon Band. You're going to be standing there when that eastern sky starts splitting, plague number seven's hitting, the mountains are shaking like reeds in the wind. Read about that in the book of Psalms. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because he's with you. This is their problem, not ours. This is where we see our God glorified. And even with tornadoes, besides the one that are shifting their tracks, when I saw my first tornado, I was 12. And I remember my dad taking me around in the neighborhoods to drive around and look at the damage. And he specifically wanted to see the house that he was planning to buy. And it was the only house on the block that had, like, was made out of cinder blocks, and it was painted white, and it looked like a bomb shelter. I thought it was the ugliest thing in the world, and he wanted to buy that. Instead, he built new, you know, about 2-3 miles away from that, in a little town called Bridgeview. And we drove there, and he couldn't find it. And the reason he couldn't find it, he found out later, is because it was gone. It had a direct hit. But what we also noticed was how one house is completely standing, and the other house is gone. One house is standing, or a house, you know. And it's not always the same on the same block. Sometimes the entire block is gone. And sometimes there's only one house left. And I do not think that's a mistake. I don't think it's just weird wind turbulence. I think there's angels involved. Because those people were protected as Christians. So, she goes on. He sweeps away the ripening harvest and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. We just saw one, you know, a few years ago in India, I think it was, where some chemical factory had a backfire leak or something like that, and I think 5,000 people died within 20 minutes. They all just died instantly. I mean, it was just, as the cloud went through, they just dropped. It took 20 minutes for the cloud to fall through that little town. They all died. I think it was India. Anyway, destruction will be upon both man and beast. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Isaiah chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. And then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. Now, we're on the footsteps. We're on steps. I don't know what step we're on, but we're on the staircase now when it comes to this. Especially after the, this is part of my praise for tomorrow in regards to what the Salvation Army put out last week. I think, I don't know, Brother Andre put something up in the SDR forum. And I put a link on my site directly to that. But he's got the link in there, or the actual article, where Salvation Army is, just to summarize, to put it in a nutshell, they're talking about the calamities, just like Sister White predicts here. And they're saying, just like that one preacher back in 96 with the Christmas tsunami, or was that 2006? I can't remember. He said the reason people were dying and these calamities were happening is because people aren't going to church on Sundays. Well, the Salvation Army chimed in as well. Notice the Vatican is only saying it in through the Dies Domini and the other Latin documents and stuff like that they put out from the Vatican to make it look all holy and generalized, to where they're not the ones that are literally, you know, saying it on a regular basis or putting out these small documents every now and then. Because they know there's people like us out there who know they're the ones that are actually saying this stuff, because the One World Church started in 2000. So the Salvation Army, making the statement in 2005 or 6, or no, that Presbyterian minister in 2005 or 6 made that statement. So he was already in bed with Rome when he made the statement, because he's already agreed for the Pope to be his leader. So he has to make the statement for Rome, because if Rome makes the statement, it'll be a field day for us to go out and point fingers. And they know it, so they got to get somebody else to say it. It's the same thing with the Salvation Army. Talking about climate change, and one way to, and they had a whole list of things to say that this could help us with the climate change, to stop this, stop that, to stop this. But towards the bottom, you see, one of the ways to prevent this is to keep Sunday holy. Yeah, it absolutely positively is going to lead to the mark of the beast. This is what she's getting at here. And then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. And another thing that's kind of weird about this, because you can picture this in your mind. You don't even have to have a vision to see this one. It's easy to see this when you think about this. Let's say they come up to your door, and they know you're a Sabbath keeper, and they're going to be all up in your face about it, because they got boils all over their bodies, and they can't get a good drink of water because it's all blood-ridden. But yet, you're standing with a cool glass of water with ice cubes in it, and you ain't got a boil anywhere, it'll be fine on your body. And they just can't put the two and two together. It's going to be the same thing when they look at us as when they look in Scripture. And no, I'm not going to say we're going to be walking Bibles, but we should be getting to that divine nature by then, if you know what I mean. You're going to have to be part of the Gideon band by then for them to see this. And we're going to reflect Christ to the best of our abilities. We're going to have the divine nature upon us. And they still can't get it, just like when they open up a Bible and they just can't see what... I mean, it's absolute, unadulterated truth. Perfect, clear, crystal clear, loaded with love. Absolute truth. But they can't see it because they have been so used to living in lies. They love Hollywood movies, 100% designed by lies. Fiction is nothing but lies. Even if it's based on this true story, it's lies. Because they're going to have some fabrication in there. And then... everywhere they go, this is where it really irks me. People will call you up, how you doing? I ain't seen you in a while. I don't know this guy from Adam. But he's going to use lies to try to get me on his good side so that he can sell me a product over the phone. Or like the one time they walked up to me in Menards. acting like he was my best friend, hadn't seen him in a long time. And I knew he was a salesman. I knew he was going to try to push up. But that's, you know, why do you got to use deception? Just introduce yourself. If you have a good product, maybe I'll buy it. But the thing that gets me the most, and I'm not even talking about spam. Spam's off the chart. I hate it. I have spam killers. I don't even look at it. I'm sick of it, you know. And please, if you get spam and it looks enticing, don't click it. 50% of the time what you're going to do is you're going to get yourself a virus. And the other 50% of the time is you're going to put yourself on a stronger spam list and you're going to get more garbage. And then you're eventually going to get a virus. So always never click on an email that you never asked for because it's going to get you it's going to cause you trouble. But what I'm talking about is the junk mail. You get something in your mailbox, open immediately, dated materially inside, you know, or materially inside. Very important on the cover. All these lies that get you to open it, that's just they're trying to sell you a product. It's so annoying. This is, you know, if you're going to say, I'm a Christian. You're going to sell me a product by using the lies of Satan, the tools of hell? No. I don't even open it. I just rip it in half, throw it in the garbage. Don't even open it. Some of them sell you a dollar bill. Well, I just ripped up a buck because I'm not even going to open it. Because they do that too. They sometimes send you a dollar. Oh, they so much helped you out. I can buy like a pint of gasoline with that now. I don't know. Anyway, she says the class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all their troubles upon those whose obedience to God's commandments is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. In other words, just our fruits alone tells them, you guys are wrong, we're right, but we're, you know, it's a waste of time talking at this point, right? So she goes on, she says, it will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced, and that those who present the claims of the Fourth Commandment, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, just like Elijah. We're coming in the spirit of Elijah, so we're going to have to deal with some of the stuff he dealt with, right? So we're going to be, you know, called troublers of the people, preventing the restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. You know, no more buying and selling. No more favors. Third-class society all of a sudden. Instantly, in fact. Everything's computerized, so you can't even buy a pack of gum if you wanted to. You shouldn't, anyways. Probably got poison in it. But, I mean, gum, it hurts the body, too. It makes you think, makes the body think it's getting food. So it starts generating acid. Nothing's coming down there. So guess what eventually is going to happen? You're going to get an ulcer or heartburn. Bad case. Yeah, over 100 years ago, she saw this. And this is why so many people. And recently, I just got an email from a woman who used to come in here a lot, and I like to listen to what we said, but then all of a sudden, somebody told her Ellen White's a false prophet and showed her all those false, those, you know, Roman Catholic websites that seem to prove she's a false prophet. I sent her my page where it says, you know, try to share with her that I did the research years ago because when I first found out about Ellen White, I too ran across those websites and first thought she was a false prophet too. Well, I was starting to lean in that direction until I started to realize who was saying it all. I said, these are all Roman Catholic websites. I mean, they all have Sunday keepers. They're all doing this. They all do that. They all do Christmas. I says, you know, okay, I'm going to look a little deeper into this woman. And then when I found out that the Jesuits read her writings, so as to figure out how to hide the prophetic events that they simply cannot stop from happening because they have to get the Sunday laws passed. That's the only thing that's going to work for them. So they have to make sure that they're going to be able to do it in a way where no one's going to recognize it. They're not going to know that it's because of us that they're pushing out the Sunday laws to try to shut us up and get us out of the picture and kill us off. Like they said with Jesus, it's better for one man to die than a whole nation should perish. And so they're going to go after us. When in fact it's, you know, Satan trying to tell them, look, if I can kill off all the people that believe in God, we'll have won. And then Christ would have lost and we would have gained eternal life on this planet to live in sin for all eternity. There's people that actually believe that stuff. I'm serious. They're called Satanists and Luciferians, right? Devil worshippers. And so they believe that. And these are the people that are in power. And this is why they live to be 80 and 90 years old. Because the enemy of souls has built them up from childhood, some of them. I mean, he has been working with these people since they were very, very young. And He's not going to give up these trophies without a fight. You know, he's going to make sure that he can use them. And the minute they all of a sudden start turning away and realizing, you know, the problem here or there, he'll kill them off. He'll get rid of them. You know, killing is, you know, part of his fruit. It's not going to bother him. I mean, he's already got someone else he's working with, you know, and he doesn't know the day or the hour either. So, you know, he's probably fashioning a bunch of young people right now to work for him as we speak, because he doesn't know how much time he's got left either. So, going on. It says, thus the accusation urged of old against the servant of God will be repeated and upon grounds equally well established. And it came to pass, and when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. 1 Kings 18, verses 17 and 18. So there you have it. It's the same thing. We have to go, we're going to have to, like I said a minute ago, we're going to come in the spirit of Elijah like John the Baptist did. And we're going to go forth proclaiming the commandments of God. I mean, that's the three angels' message in regards to Revelation 14, 12. The two major fruits of a real Christian in today's world, the ones that don't get the mark of the beast, the ones that believe in Jesus and keep the Ten Commandments. It's like I've always said, Satan don't care if you believe in Jesus. And he certainly doesn't care if you keep the Ten Commandments. He's got a bunch of Christians out there saying Jesus is Lord, but yet they're breaking the commandments. And he's got a bunch of Jews out there thinking they're keeping the commandments, but saying Jesus is a false prophet. What he hates is if you believe in Jesus and keep his law. That's when you're a threat. And that's what he's going after us for. And the sooner people start to realize that these prophecies are real, it'll be that much easier for them to get off that fence and jump on the proper side. Because it's so overwhelmingly obvious now, especially living in these last days. You talk about a wealth of ammo since we're at war. We have all sorts of evidence to show that. I mean, if you just go back the last 50 years and show them some of the prophetic events that have happened, or go back 100, or better yet, go way back to Cain and Abel's day, and show how every single solitary prophecy that was ever uttered in the Christian scriptures have happened, and many of them, like from the book of Daniel, are actually dated. Or some names of kings are given before they're even over 100 years before they're born. With a record like that, you know, because now we're in the last days, it's just like, it's a gold mine of truth. Overwhelming evidence that the Christian Bible is the only way to go now. There's nothing on this planet that has a record like this, with all these prophecies like this. But if you don't read it, you're going to believe in a Quran. If you don't read it, you're going to believe in, you know, reincarnation or any of these other strange things out there. So, she says, as the wrath of the people shall be excited by false charges, you know, against us, they will pursue a course toward God's ambassadors very similar to that which apostate Israel pursued towards Elijah. The miracle-working power manifested through spiritualism will exert its influence against those who choose to obey God rather than men. And what she's talking about here is demonic manifestation and stuff like that. And there's another reason I praise God for my past, is because I've seen things in my past, as have my wife and my children, some strange things. And so we know this stuff's real. And I know for a fact she's saying here, they're going to use these manifestations. And yeah, so we got some technology called holograms and stuff like that. So some of it could be fake just using technology. But the other toss of the coin is, these guys can step right up and you'll think it's a hologram. And it's not. You know? And how many of us have entertained angels unaware? Because, you know, we're going to. Either that or the Bible's a lie, because it says it pretty clearly in there. And some of us can recall the days. You know, I know of one time that I entertained an angel, didn't know until, of course, it was all over and done with. But when I get up to heaven, I'm going to ask him for my $20 back. Not because I'm going to need money in heaven. I just want to see if he brought it up there. And because he was panhandling, and it was really strange everything the way things went down at that time. But it's just something I, you know, not like I say, not I don't need the 20, or I just meet the guy. So you're the one that's, you know, got me for $20. I'm sure glad you didn't take my car. It's a long story. I'll share it later maybe. But it was pretty neat. It's one of my first graphic movements of his hand, I guess you could say. Well, not one. That wasn't the first, but it was right up there with him. But anyway, she goes on. Communications from the spirits will declare that God has sent them to convince the rejecters of Sunday of their error, affirming that the laws of the land should be obeyed as the law of God. And Brother Mark was telling me, I put an article on the site the other day, that the Mormons were saying that the law of the land should be above the law of God. I missed that. I don't think I commented on it, or if I did, I forgot. But I'd like to make a video on that one. But if the Mormons are saying, I mean, that's, you know, they're no major threat, even though they are connected with Rome. And people go, wait a second. Wait, they're way off in left field. Have you seen their main building? Mormon Tabernacle? I think it's called the Mormon Tabernacle. I've been looking for a picture of it for years, and I gave up after a while, but I'm sure I could find it now if I went looking for it. But if you get a picture of the Mormon Tabernacle, the front facade of it, get a high-definition picture of it. And when you do, zoom in to the little images above every window. Tell me what you see. And I'm not talking about the gargoyles. That all right, that right there tells you it's Roman Catholicism. But notice what you see above every window. Okay? You see it in the Vatican too. Anyway, she goes on, they will lament the great wickedness in the world and second testimony of religious teachers. And yeah, second the testimony of religious leaders that the degraded state of morals is caused by the desecration of Sunday. So all this falderal, the homosexual marriage and, you know, the alcohol, the drugs, legalized marijuana and pedophilia and necrophilia, bestiality, all these strange things that are happening in the world today and people are embracing it. It's all because of Sunday keeping. Now, the Sunday keeping is just part of it, but or Sunday breaking. But, you know, they have to get it boiling over so that when they demand some kind of a fix, if you will, they'll have some foundation to build on, because everybody's going to say, oh yeah, we know society is a joke. It's a mess. Everybody's saying it now. But you ever notice this though? Even though they're saying it, you know, they're reveling in it just like anybody else. It's just like with the Seventh-day Adventists or the Roman Catholics. Because I don't see this in the Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, or the Baptist Church either. I mean, some Baptists will admit, yeah, the church is an apostasy. Most won't. Some Lutherans will, most won't. But all the SDAs say, yeah, the church is an apostasy, but yet they still revel in it. And the Catholics say, yeah, they all say it. Church is an, I said it when I was a Catholic. They're all saying the church is an apostasy, but yet they stay in it. So, I always thought that was kind of strange, because like, everybody's looking at society now, because they had to get, and you can see the ingenious behind you, and it's not mankind type of ingenious activity, it's fallen angels doing this, to get mankind used to the idea of saying, yeah, it's bad, but, you know, it's the only game in town, kind of a thing, you know? It's just like when they vote at elections. Yeah, well, you gotta vote for the lesser of two evils. No, you don't, because if you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're still voting for evil. People, they keep putting it on the back burner, common sense, because, you know, because there's really no other game in town, right? And no one's going to run on the independent ticket, and that, you know, because that'll just split the vote, and so they're all worried about this or that, or, you know, it's just really, really childish if you think about it, but Satan has gotten the people to get, you know, gotten them used to the idea that you can't really change things. You got to work with the evil to try to clean it. Well, you walk away from the evil completely. If enough Christians in this nation, or just enough people even, not even have to be Christians, just don't vote because they're all evil, well, they're going to fabricate the vote anyway, so it really doesn't matter. I mean, look what they did with Obama. So anyway, great will be the indignation excited against all who refuse to accept their testimony. That's our testimony. They don't want to hear it. So she says, Satan's policy in this final conflict with God's people is the same that he employed in the opening of the great controversy in heaven. He professed to be seeking to promote the stability of the divine government while secretly bending every effort to secure its overthrow. And this is the way we actually saw the United States of America. It was kind of like a quiet coup, taken over without firing a shot. Because the men in Congress now, and especially the men in the White House now, are not Americans. They can't be, the way they act. Well, they're not based on the American Constitution anyway. They have slowly but surely worked their way into the highest place of office in our nation so as to take this nation over. That's what Satan did in heaven. You know, he works his ways in whatever worked in heaven for him to get a third to fall, he's going to be using down here. Mankind's a lot easier to manipulate than a smart angel, obviously, hands down. But you got to get them in mass. And so you got 300 million people in this nation. So she goes on. And the work, and the very work which he has thus, and he was thus endeavoring to accomplish, he charged upon the loyal angels. The same policy of deception has marked the history of the Roman Church. It has professed to act as the vicegerent of heaven while seeking to exalt itself above God and to change his law. Under the rule of Rome, those who suffered death for their fidelity to the gospel were denounced as evildoers. Like the Bible says, those are, you know, they're going to call evil good, good evil. It says they were declared to be in league with Satan, and every possible means was employed to cover them with reproach, to cause them to appear in the eyes of the people, and even to themselves, as the vilest of criminals. I remember loved ones did that to me when I left the Catholic Church. Letters were written, statements were made, and because my wife and I decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ out of Rome, like Revelation 18 verses 1 to 5 said we should, we became the most evil people in the family. Black sheep. Disowned. Satanists. Literally. And then she says, so it will be now. While Satan seeks to destroy those who honor God's law, he will cause them to be accused as lawbreakers, as men who are dishonoring God and bringing judgments upon the world. God never forces the will or the conscience, but Satan's constant resort to gain control of those who he cannot otherwise seduce is compulsion by cruelty. You know, need I remind you of the Nazi soldiers? Or just Rome itself. I mean, Nazism was, you know, the Inquisition on steroids because it was a lot shorter period of time. So they had to get a lot of more work done in that short period of time. So had the Inquisition, the kill ratio of Hitler, there'd be a lot more than 500 million dead because they were only averaging 400,000 dead a year during the Inquisition. Hitler, how many years was he active? And they say it's like 12 million he killed. Oh, they'll say 6 million Jews, but they won't mention the Christians and the other innocent people. You know. So, I know, only. But still, you got to add that 6 million or 12 million, whatever the case may be, to the 500 million that Rome killed anyway, because they were the ones that were moving Hitler to begin with. But I think Hitler was active for, what, 5 years? You know, actually been doing all the killing. Hold on. One of my hot button didn't work, so I have to go in here to get the calculator the old-fashioned way. Click it. All right, so what is it? What's 5 years? I don't know. Maybe that could be a little lower than I thought. So 600. 123 divided by 5. Yeah, 1.2 million a year. Okay. Yeah, 1.2 million a year is far more. Because if there was think about that, yeah. If they killed 1.2 million a year like Hitler did, let's say if they only had 5 years, let's say, but you got 1,260 years times 1.5 million, you'd have 1,890,000,000 dead. Instead of 500 million. So, yeah, Hitler was more or less the Inquisition on steroids, but then again, they had some modern technology behind them and some really, really, really evil people. And the drugs helped, of course, the methamphetamines or whatever they used to get these guys to see no wrong in what they were doing. So, let's see, where am I here? I don't know. Okay, through fear or force, he endeavors to rule the conscience and to secure homage to himself. To accomplish this, he works through both religious and secular authorities, moving them to the enforcement of human laws in defiance of the law of God. That's called absolute power. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, you can have political power and you can have a religious power, but when you put them together, that's absolute power. And that's what Rome's done and always has done. But then they lost that power in 1798 when Napoleon stepped up. But that power is prophesied to come back. And this is why you saw what went down in 1929 when Gasparri and Mussolini got together in the Lateran Palace and signed the treaty. And it's no coincidence that 1929 was also the year of the crash. things were already in place for them to take their power. And then when we saw what this present pope has then been doing and has done, the mortal wound is now healed. Because it specifically states the popularity comes after the wound is healed. And, well, I made a video about it. I go into a little bit more detail about that in the video. But, yeah, the mortal wound is healed. We already know. Or just go to the Characteristics of Antichrist page on the website. And there's a section about the mortal wound to be healed. Is going to be healed. Well, that's because it wasn't healed when I set that study up. But now it is. There's a link to the video over there. So, if you want to check it out. All right, so page 592. Those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of the law and order and is breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. Now, seriously, if you're a Sabbath-keeping Christian, as all of us here are, I implore you to get very, very, very serious about your walk, because what if this is the last generation? And for all intents and purposes, and by all that we see before us, it certainly appears to be that way. When I'm not sending any dates, I mean, we can know the season, but we certainly can't know the date or the hour. It's up to our Father. So, if in fact we are the last and final generation, there's no more foot dragging. There's no more baby steps. There's no more saying, oh, I'm going to try to quit. No, you just quit. Just stop. But it's hard. Yeah, I know. I smoked. Just quit. You got to get serious, and you're going to see the blessings flow. As a matter of fact, I got it in my, Thank you, Lord. It's in my memory. HS, page 155. Hold on. Go to book page, book code, HS, page 155, paragraph 2. Yeah, I think it is. No, it's not. What am I doing here then? Oh, it is. Okay, it's actually paragraph 3. Listen to this. Okay, again, this is historical sketches, page 155, but it's actually paragraph 3. Paragraph 2 is what lit up and it put me at the top of paragraph 3. So check this out. She says, we may be followed with testimony after testimony of reproof. I shared this Wednesday night too, as well, by the way. But if we do not overcome the disposition in us to do evil, and that could be a little bitty little speck of evil, any kind of evil, the devil only needs a toehold. And if he's got a toehold, the Lord knows, well, you can't be trusted. The devil's still holding on to one of your toes. He's eventually going to have your leg. But he might not. You might break away, yeah, and still make it home to heaven, but you're going to have to die to get there. He wants somebody that's really, really serious. Now, check it out. You may be followed with testimony after testimony of reproof, but if you do not overcome the disposition in us to do evil, if we do not respond to the light, we shall be in a state of condemnation before God. If, on the other hand, we live up to all the light that shines upon us, that light will continue to increase, and we shall have a clean record in heaven. And then she goes on to say that the third angel's message is to lighten the earth with its glory, but only those who have withstood temptation in the strength of the Mighty One, capital M, capital O, Jesus, you know. So, those who have withstood temptation in the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted to act a part in proclaiming it, when it shall be swelled into the loud cry. That's what we strive on to. So, there's the outline of how to get there. Oh, here, it's H.S., Historical Sketches, I guess, right? Let me scroll down a little bit here. Yep, Historical Sketches, page 155, paragraph 3. All right, I'll just, in case you forget it, and if you didn't write it down in time, there, it's in the room, HS 155, paragraph 3. So, it's so important now. We're seeing all this stuff happening all around us. The anarchy is there to some extent. It's not there yet. I mean, but they keep pushing race wars. They keep pushing the idea for martial law. They keep, you know, causing all sorts of, Obama's pushing anti-cop theology to get cops shot and killed so as to have a reason to really throw down martial law, you know, so it blows off. I just put a video on the site today or yesterday. I don't remember when, but, there was a fist fight like we all had in high school, right? You got these big fights. like gang fights, I guess you call them. And so there was this big fight in this one high school, and for some idiotic reason, the police force sent four cops to break it up. Those four cops got pummeled by the teenagers. I mean, it's boiling over. It's going to happen. It's already here. It's another reason to get out of the cities. You're not going to want to be there when the stuff goes down. And it might be peaceful in your city, but it just spills over so quickly. It just gets, I mean, look what happened in that one where that kid got shot, who actually was a criminal, but they put him up as a saint. I don't like the idea that he got shot. No, he shouldn't have got shot. I mean, there's tasers today. I mean, what's the problem here? But that too, and this is why I did that article in that news or that radio thing years ago about how Chicago, Illinois was advertising for police that are no longer active duty. They wanted soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan to apply as policemen. They wanted killers. I'm not saying they're all killers, but I'm saying you have the killing mentality. You have killed. And this is why a lot of the cops shoot first and ask questions later now. Well, we'll deal with it in the courts if you actually, you know, and that's why a lot of them get away with it. And this is why you get the riots and more riots and more riots and more riots. They're just going to get off the chart. And this is where it's headed. And this is what she said over 100 years ago. And said, and so talking about us again, it says that they will be accused of disaffection toward the government. Right? And I know I'll have a big old red flag on me because it's not that I have disaffection. I have affection for those who I pray for. But at the same time, I have to do what Ephesians 5:11 says. I don't care if you're a preacher or a politician. If you're doing wrong, you got to put it out there. You know, I'm just a little guy. I'm just Joe Schmo on the side of the road. You know, I don't have the political power, and I don't want it. I don't want the popularity. I like flying under the radar, but it still has to be said. Because I know the Lord's going to send people here that need to hear it. Because they're already censoring me. But at the same time, the Lord is sending people here that need to hear it. As much as they censor me, we still get a pretty good amount of hits. She goes on, ministers who deny the obligation of the divine law will present from the pulpit the duty of yielding obedience to the civil authorities as ordained of God. Again, I'm going to read that one. And as I read this, think of Katrina. All right? Ministers who deny the obligation of the divine law will present from the pulpit the duty of yielding obedience to the civil authorities as ordained of God. How many of us remember the articles, and I put a few of them on the website years ago when the Katrina thing went down, where after, and they absolutely positively let the people suffer for a few days before they started sending in troops to help them with some crazy excuse that, oh, we were fearing for our lives. Yeah. Like these guys are going to be able to get to their guns that are in the basement while the house is filled with water up to the rafters. Yeah. But still, there were some areas, and these were the highfalutin areas, where there weren't no riots. These people had a few dollars in their pocket, and they went door to door with the pastors of the area saying, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7 declares, or is it Romans 10? I think it's Romans 13. Or no, Romans 8. That you have to... Well, here, let me go there. They took it literally out of context. I think it's Romans 8. Nope, it's not, I was probably right the first time. It's probably Romans 13. Yep, it's Romans 13. I'm going to read it to you. Verses 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. In other words, rulers are not going to be a problem unless, of course, you're evil. But the other way around, the people are good. The rulers are evil now. So, for the rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God for thee to good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. So they come up taking people's guns away from them because the cop said so. The pastor is sitting there saying, look, the cop said you have to do it. He's ordained of God to tell you that. And I'm telling you as a Bible reading teacher that you have to give him your guns because the Bible says they are ordained of God. And that's what they were doing. And this is what she says over 100 years ago. They will be accused. Ministers who deny the obligation of the divine law will present from the pulpit the duty of leading obedience to the civil authorities as ordained of God. I'm going to copy and paste this one into an email to myself because this is going to go on my Was She a Prophet page. Because like many of you, I have not read all her writings yet. And so I never saw this one before. So give me a minute here. Let me just... E.G. White Facts page. And then just put Mention Katrina. And I'll just look up the... I'll eventually find the articles. I got them on the site, and I'll look online first because my search engine on my site slows me down sometimes because there's just too much. It pulls up too much at the same time, even when you put it in quotations. Okay, here it goes. All right. So where did I leave off here? All right. So she goes on, in legislative halls and courts of justice, commandant keepers will be misrepresented and condemned. A false coloring will be given to their words. The worst construction will be put upon their motives. Sound familiar? Remember the trial, the illegal trial that they had against our Lord and Savior and Commander Jesus Christ? They literally lied about him. They may look like he did things he didn't do. They're going to do the same thing to us. As the Protestant churches reject the clear scriptural arguments in the defense of God's law, they will long to silence those whose faith they cannot overthrow by the Bible. Now that's already happening now too. How many of you that do some of the work have gotten emails or phone calls from people, like especially if you're passing out cards and tracts, where they get all up in your face? I've even seen some loved ones do this to me, and I'm sitting there going, wait a second here. I've been studying and teaching scripture over 30 years. And I'm not saying I'm trying to say that to toot my horn, but this is what I do. Now, if you're a plumber, I'm not going to come up to you and say, hey, what are you doing with that? That ain't going to work. You don't know the first thing about plumbing. But yet you've been doing it 20 years. I can't walk up to you and tell you don't know what you're doing if you're a plumber when I'm not a plumber. I mean, I know how to do plumbing, but I'm not an expert. And the same thing with somebody that does like a lawyer. I can't walk up to a lawyer and say, you don't know the first thing about law, when I never studied it. But the thing I like is when they try to rebuke some, and I learned my lesson years ago. Well, I didn't actually learn a lesson. It was just the Lord told me don't do it this way in regards to dealing with Roman Catholics. And sure enough, the first time I got onto those Usenet, like forums, I guess you can call them today, but back then it was just bulletin boards. I'd go in there and I'd give scripture after scripture after scripture in regards to this doctrine or that doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, proving the Bible says the exact opposite of what they're putting out there. And they'll come at me with hatred, four-letter words, death threats. Some even put my home address online with instructions of doing me harm. But not one of them could come up with a Bible verse to prove I was wrong. Not one. Over 40,000 posts. I think it was 44,000 posts before I left. And so I did it for years, obviously. And the thing is, and that was a wealth of education too, by the way. I learned more in scriptures on topical study thanks to Roman Catholics. How ironic is that? The Roman Catholics, if it wasn't for them attacking me and asking and making all these false claims about the Bible and me proving them wrong using the Bible, I never would have learned as much in the Bible had it not been for them. So I thanked them for that. It was very ironic, yeah, but still. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have had, you know, the understanding that I had at that time. Because they were the ones forcing me into the Bible to try to help them out. And it wasn't always the same guy either. It was all these, you know, there's many of them. But the thing is, it's just going to happen again for us. And it's already started happening. I get emails all the time where people... Or on YouTube, I've done it a few times. Instead of just deleting their hateful statements, if they don't use four-letter words or something like that, it's okay, that's all well and good. But can you please show us the Bible verse that says what I shared in the video was wrong and what you're saying is correct? And one time I actually filed, I watched this one for like 2 or 3 months. made another comment, look, it's been 2 or 3 months. Can you please send the verses? Came back 2 or 3 months again and says, look, it's been 6 months. Can you please send the verses? And I only do that to make it a point to the people out there. It's exactly as Sister White said they're going to do. They're going to long to silence us because they don't have, you know, those of us who have the faith, because they cannot overthrow the Bible that we hold in our hands. They can't do it. They just can't be done. It was written by God. It wasn't written by man, so man can't use it to manipulate it. They could rip out verses here and there, just like the prophecy said in the defiled bread prophecy. They could rip it up to shreds all they want, but it's still, they can't get it all because they can't understand it all. So she says, though they blind their own eyes to the fact that they are now adopting a course which will lead to the persecution of those who conscientiously refuse to do what the rest of the Christian world are doing and acknowledge the claims of the papal Sabbath. Well, see, now they've already tested these waters, too. I mean, look around. They're getting all upset at us because we conscientiously refuse to do what the rest of the Christian world are doing in regards to homosexual marriage, Allah is God, and so on and so forth. So they're getting it to a point where they're getting all the Christians to agree that, yeah, we're calling ourselves Christians, but we're going to do this ecumenical thing, and we're going to tell everybody everything's okay, you can do this, you can do that, and you can still have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because that's what Roman Catholicism teaches. You can be saved in sin. But we're still saying, no, 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 no. It's eventually going to come to that papal Sabbath. And then she goes on, she says, the dignitaries of church and state will unite to bribe, persuade, and compel all classes to honor the Sunday. The lack of divine authority will be supplied by oppressive enactments. In other words, not a single Bible verse will use to back up their authority, but they're going to use some very unjust laws. And she says, political corruption is destroying love of justice and regard for truth. That has come and gone. I mean, just some of the elections that went down where the majority of the people didn't want anything to do with the certain people that were running for office, but yet they somehow win because of electoral votes. Well, what about the will of the people? But they had to bring in electoral votes because that way the people's voice is silenced. It's just going to go with whatever your state says. And if they get enough bigwigs in the state to agree, well, then, you know, your vote don't count. But then also with the other toss on it is the political corruption. It's like she's saying here, nobody loves justice. Nobody trusts it anymore. That's why you see some of the kids in the inner city, when a cop comes around, they start running. And it's not because, and I would think half the time these guys are running because, yeah, they got warrants out on them. But half of the warrants are just bogus. I mean, some of the cops love going in the inner city just to make some money. Yeah, let's pull over that guy, frame him, not frame him, but just dump this charge on him. And these kids notice. So they just run because, hey, whether you're guilty or not, you're going to end up behind bars for a few years. It don't matter. So she says, and even in free America, rulers and legislators, in order to secure public favor, will yield to the popular demand for a law enforcing Sunday observance. Liberty of conscience, which has cost so great a sacrifice, will no longer be respected. So all those guys that died in World War I and II, which were also for incorporation type means, but nobody ever told them that. Now we know this, hands down. But back then we didn't know the plans that Satan had for the snake. Well, because most people didn't study prophecy, so. But she says, in soon coming conflict, we shall see exemplified the prophet's words. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of course, that's Revelation 12:17. And I'm starting to choke. I guess I went on a little long. Only got 5 minutes left, but we just started page 593, which is chapter 37. You know, brand new chapter. So why don't we end it here? And let me just put this link in there. Sabbath Eve. Wow, we got a lot in. Started off at page 580-something. Ended up on 593. I don't remember which page was it. 589. Oh, four pages. It's better than two, like we usually do. Hey, I'm a poet. All right, if you kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your truth and giving us an opportunity to look into the future, even though a lot of it's in the present, what we're seeing now. And thank you so much for these writings that you blessed Sister White with over 100 years ago in regards to what's happening now. It's pretty obvious now why people hate her with a passion, because the devil in them does not want to lose that trophy. And that trophy is, of course, their soul. So he's going to boil them up when they see stuff that she's wrote, or written, rather. And so please, Father, guide them back on the path somehow, some way. Let the seeds that we planted in them, or seeds that somebody else planted in them, be watered, because for a moment they were understanding it. They were getting it. But then somebody pulled them off the path, and it happened too easily. And you know who I'm talking about too, Father God, in regards to that one woman recently. But there's many that do this. And so, Father, please bless everyone that's on our prayer list. Bless everyone that was in attendance tonight and all those that were mentioned in the chat room. And thank you once again for blessing your son's bride with the latter rain. We offer this prayer unto you in the name of your son, who is our Savior, King, and Commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.